Right, welcome everybody to another episode of Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host, a very good friend, is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. We are covering Married at First Sight Australia, Season 11, Episode 17 through to 20. Chris is hotting up. I have been dying to talk to you about this one. So where would you like to start today?
Well, I have been all over the place this week, and you've been on point watching it as it comes on, and you're like, have you watched it? I'm like, no, I watch it late, and I've been so far behind you. Like, I'm caught up now. Mate, I can see exactly what you were saying. This week has just been ridiculous. An absolute bunch of bellends across every couple, pretty much. I mean, we had the fallout of, like, the Jack thing, didn't we? You know, the commitment ceremony, you know... Fucking Jono, Dave. Fucking Jono. He apologized to him, going, ah, yeah, you're a great couple. And everyone in the room is just like,
oh, fuck what me.
The fuck are you doing?
You know what? I'd almost forgotten about that bit. But yeah, so, you know, when it kicked off, or rather, when they started off with the books and hens do's and stuff, you're thinking, oh, Lauren, she's going to be a fucking nightmare. And Jono's going to have a hard time of it and stuff. But honestly, Chris, I wanted to reach through the TV and fucking strangle him. It's like, you fucking bellend. Honestly, Jack has literally said to his wife, you know, his fake TV wife kind of thing, but, you know, wife all the same, you know, muzzle your woman. And John, expert John, is literally saying to him, isn't he? He's like, you know, what does that mean? What's the implication there? He's just like, oh, yeah, it's your dog. Oh, yeah, happy birthday, Tori. You know, fucking no bad. So honestly, utterly, utterly spineless, Chris. And I'm sure I'd said last week that, you know, he's positioning himself second in the pecking order. You know, he's recognizing Jack as that alpha male and probably the pair of as the alpha male couple. But I've switched sides. I'm fucking team Lauren, Chris. Like, yeah, all that she was saying about him being a fucking drip seemed to be right. And yeah, I was fucking fuming at that point.
Oh, I'm with you, honestly, because, and even when he said happy birthday, I'm like, yeah, you actually, for real. And Lauren, you get what you see with Lauren. I'm the same. At first I was like, oh, holy shit, you know, when she was like, she was pissed, she was obviously nervous, his sister was calling him out. No, Jono is a fucking wet lettuce, isn't he? He's an absolute drip. And the fact that, like, it's like Jack is controlling him, the Christian Grey stuff, you know, this sort of, like, domineering thing. He's dominating fucking, is it because fucking Jack spots him fucking two reps on the bench press or something? He's panicking or something. He's going to fucking drop it on his head or something. What a fucking absolute, Dave, I'm going to say it. He's a fucking pussy. He's an absolute soft ass. And John was amazing, wasn't he? He was fucking amazing. Yeah. The whole room was just so curly. And everyone was like, oh, no. What are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? And John's just like, I'm not buying this for a second. And then, to be fair, John calls out all the men, doesn't he? He fucking calls all the men out and says, you know, and I thought that was really interesting, Dave, because that's all you'd think. Maybe because it's in Australia. If that was in the UK, I don't think they'd air that, because it's like you're inciting fucking to go and stick one on fucking Jack. Do you see what I mean? It's very unusual to do that. And he went, you should have. And then John's like, that'd have been my wife. I'd have stood up and all this, honestly. And then he turned to Jack and went, and I've not even started. But you're always like, go on, John, get in there.
He's on fire, wasn't he?
Brilliant. Absolutely amazing, John. All three of the judges, to be fair, experts, were this week at different judges. I say every time. They were on point, I thought, Dave, calling people out. I really, really enjoyed this week.
Yeah, no, it was a good commitment ceremony, wasn't it? Because there's a lot of the time when it gets to the commitment ceremony, you say, go on, go for them. And then they sort of pull their punches a bit. And then I obviously we only see the edited version, so they could cut a lot of it out as well. But yeah, I thought they. I loved the way John was tearing strips off everyone, and I don't know if he was necessarily inciting violence. He wasn't saying, you know, go over and throttle Jack, but he's saying at least fucking stand up. You know, it is unacceptable behavior. And again, there's so much that gets cut out, isn't there? The dinner parties. It's hard to know. Well, maybe someone did say something. I'm sure I saw a comment somewhere that Timothy had said something, but they kind of cut everything that he said out. Because that didn't make sense, did it? Because Timothy doesn't suffer fools gladly at all. And there's plenty of barrels for Timothy coming as well, by the way. I'm not Team Timothy by any stretch. But, you know, when he sees something that's bullshit, he generally calls it out. So it did seem weird that he was just saying nothing when Jack was being an utter bell end. But, yeah, it was... I think for the dinner parties are usually the best, aren't they? And the reunions, I think, second to that. The commitment ceremonies, you sometimes have these flashpoints, but I think this was right up there with the best commitment ceremonies for me.
Oh, honestly, I'm with you, Dave. And what made it even worse as well is like fucking Tori. You know, they get to Jack and Tori, and she's just as toxic as him. She's proper got her attitude on her. She mirrors everything that he does. She doubles down on everything. He's, apparently, it's their dark humour. No, it's not. He's a controlling fucking bun-wearing fucking bellend. And she's fucking there. And I'm sorry, Dave, as this has gone on, she is not a nice person at all. She deserves everything that's coming her way in the respect of Jack. No, not in a life or anything like that. It's a TV show. I know that. I'm not trying to sound too fucking harsh. But she's just been... You know what I mean? Like putting a fucking a voodoo hoax on her or something, a crux on her, whatever. But no, she's just horrible, isn't she? She spent, it obviously is her personality, but she's mirroring all Jack's bad behavior. And I mean, I'm not just letting Jack off. Jack got fucking roasted and quite rightly, didn't he? You know, Alexandra, Mel, John at one point couldn't even look at him. John was looking out fucking the window or something. I think he was livid, Dave. So it was like, this is not good behavior. And Jack couldn't even apologize to Lauren. He apologized to the fucking group, didn't he? Oh, he's a horrible man. Him.
Disgusting. And so, but we know what Jack is, but I'm finding it hard to get a read on Tori because the way she kind of progressed through the week, you can kind of go with the, okay, she's being gaslit by Jack. That was my first thought, you know, in the first week or whatever. And then you're sort of thinking, oh, she's a Bronte. She just wants to stay on the show. You know, she deep down, she does actually know Jack is a bit of a bell end, but you know, she just wants to stay on the show. So she's pulling a Bronte. But then this week was just bonkers because I think at the commitment ceremony, she was still doing the Bronte thing. So, you know, when Alessandra's saying about, oh, do you really think that is humor? And, you know, do you think it's right? And I'd never thought of it that way. Oh, yeah. And I was just like, oh, fuck off. You know, you're just saying what you think the experts want you to say. But then when you get to the end, sort of zoom into the end of it, just because we're on Jack and Tori, her behavior at the dinner party was absolutely disgusting. And Chris, I was fizzing because I'm like, all of this frustration that I think you've probably got for Jack, you're just directing it at other people. Now, she's always talked about, oh, yeah, you know, I'm this kind of alpha female, so, you know, and no one pushes me around and stuff. It's like, well, that's bullshit because we can see you literally being gaslit and pushed around by Jack, but you're just a fucking bully to other people. Like, you could tell when she's going at Timothy. Now, Timothy, like I say, we'll come back to him and Lucinda, but, you know, he's sat there just smiling. And then she's like, honestly, Chris, it reminded me of when I was married. She's like, what the fuck are you smiling at? You know? Yeah. He's sat there all fucking smug. No, it's just my face. And like, she just won't have it. She just keeps on going for him. And, you know, Cassandra has the gall, Chris, to pipe up and say, why are you going after him? Like, it's just his face, you know? And she's like, oh, don't you realize there's a pecking order? Like, who the fuck do you think you are? You know? So I was like, oh, fucking hell, you and Jack deserve each other. Chris, I thought that episode, I was like, oh, fucking hell, I literally wanted to call you right after the episode.
I'm with you. That comment, it's a food chain, you know, getting you late. And it's like, who are you? How old are you? Fucking 6 years old. Are you in the fucking playground at school? You fucking bellend. Like, she's a wicked person in the context of this show. She is an absolute horror. I mean, Dave, come on. They got matching tattoos. Fuck me. She's going to be getting that. You know what? She's going to be getting that fucking erased to change to somewhere else. Probably now already, because there's no way these two are together. You see that control? I mean, they didn't exactly say Jack and Tori, but it was like, yeah, we got matching tattoos. And she's like, oh, Dave, she is thirsty for Jack, isn't she? She's dying to fucking, he must be driving her fucking crazy. Like, she's just absolutely loves him. And I cannot work out why. Like, drawn to such a bell end, you know, and even his half-hearted attempts at Timothy when they were having a pop at each other. And I think Timothy, in that context, I don't think he did anything wrong. I think Cassandra was right. You know, like you say, we've got loads to talk about on him. But, yeah, not a nice person. And as it's gone on, I'm like, you two are just made for each other. I don't care who fucking cheats on who does what. You've absolutely shown yourselves in a poor light to me.
Yeah. It's not as if, like, oh, we're the first couple who ever decided, yeah, let's get tattoos together. What are you, fucking 16 or something? You know, like, it's just pathetic, as if this is this great show of affection. Look, this'll show them. Well, it's your fucking skin, mate.
Yeah.
No one else is really going to be asked. Everyone else is going to be looking at it thinking, oh, are you fucking serious? You know, how many people, Chris, will be there thinking, oh, they think it's real?
Yeah,
I wonder if the tattoos are real. I'm going to assume that bit is, but you know, so many people on there deep down, they're like fucking Ben. Can you imagine what Ben would be thinking? Oh, fucking hell, I'm not getting a tattoo.
Yeah, get the guitar. Yeah, fucking hell. Oh, Dave,
let's get on to bed. So honestly, Chris, another moment, because this was earlier in the week, so Ben had disappeared, and again, I'm so fucking over them, and them on the commitment ceremony couch or whatever, that was classic as well, because she seemed to get to the conclusion that, you know, Ben is, you know, he is a bit full of shit, isn't he? She's been a bit up and down. You can tell she really wants to believe what Ben says but just doesn't. He's like, oh yeah, I'm there, and he gives the bullshit story about hearing the kids in the background again, and he's like, oh yeah. Just like, you are almost as bad an actor as Collins, you know, not quite, because Collins was playing the whole home and away thing. But yeah, Ben was just going fucking nuts, and then he disappears, and then you got all this drama. She doesn't know where he is. And like, he just seems to, it's what I said last week, Chris, he just can't be arsed. He can't keep up the fakeness for so long. So he just disappears when he comes back with the guitar. I nearly spat my tea out everywhere. All I'm thinking is the training day for the office. And sure enough, I'm thinking, oh, God, he's going to belt out a bit of Free Love from the Free Love Highway. But no, it's like he's been away practicing on his acoustic guitar, which I think he started to learn about 3 months ago or something, and can't really sing or carry a tune. So, Chris, what did you make of all that?
Well, Dave, I almost thought you were mirroring me. Can't sing, can't sing the tune. That's why I became the singer. I was a failed guitarist. But no, honestly, I've got to say, Dave, there's two things. I'm going to call Ellie out slightly, because I love the fact that she is fully aware to get everyone on side, to get fucking the audience on side, us watching it. She's like, I've come here to find love. No, you haven't. Don't bullshit us. We fucking know you're absolutely blagging it, but you've got to play this character now. Because Ben, I've never seen anything like it. I keep saying the same like line, the Laurel and Hardy awkward look to the camera. When he was talking to John on the commitment ceremony, John just went, I don't understand what you're saying. I don't understand any of this. Like, he was just saying words that made no sense. Anybody calls him out, he just looks fucking gormless, doesn't he? Like they've spoke to him in a foreign language or something. He looks at him like, and he just stands there. And he's you know what, Dave? I'll be honest. With people like Timothy and Jack, they're not nice people. But you get what you see, don't you? They're there. Yeah. They commit to their personality. Whether you agree or not, Timothy's just fucking Oscar the Grouch, and we'll talk about him. But like Jack is just weird. He thinks he's Christian Grey. He thinks that by controlling women, because he's got a good body, he's got away with it with people who are probably superficial. But when you peel it back, this fuck all there. But I think Ben is more dangerous than anybody on this show, Dave. He's fucking off the charts. This whole podcast thing he got called out with is correct. He's not there for anything. He flipped from want kids, I don't want kids. And you're right. When he got the guitar, it feels like the Madeline situation that the producers have gone to him and gone, look, we need you to act silly. We need you to play this character. Can you do this? Because there is no way he's ever played the guitar. And look, I'm not, you know, I can play the guitar very basic. You're a very good guitarist, bass and lead guitar. I'm not. I'm very basic, but I can play a tune. I can stand there and I can sing it. I don't think I'd be able to do it in a gig. I'm not good enough to do that because it's very hard to do both. But I know that I can sit here and play a song. Having learned it, say, for 20 years on and off, pick it up for 3 months and go, yeah, I'm playing again. You've heard me so many times. Like, damn, work on the guitar. Get the calluses back. Yeah, it sits in the corner. I can see my guitar as I'm recording, Dave. I'm not a great guitarist, but he has never, ever played the guitar and he has never, ever wrote any sort of song. He's never structured a song. He's not even in the right fucking key that he's even trying to sing in, Dave. Even I can see that. And I'm like, what? It just felt like it was a piss take. The fucking song was ridiculous. And it was like, it came in like he'd been touring the world or something. Like, you know, like he'd had no phone or no social media.
He's fucking David Brent, isn't he? He's just been on the movie when he goes on the road, like touring Slough and Reading and stuff.
You've seen his redundancy. And look, I know, like, this isn't just PR in our other podcast. We've got a podcast series we did in The Office, Back to The Office podcast, if you love The Office UK. And it's just me and you going through that whole series. And we love The Office. You've started watching it again. The Office is so dear to me and you because that was our link as friends in the band. Talking about that when you joined the band, and we've always gone on about The Office, and we were recording yesterday the VHS, and you dropped a line in there which sounded like David Brent, and it wasn't even the right line. I mean, you know exactly what we're saying. We're laughing. So to The Office references is so dear to us both. And honestly, when he got I was sat there going, this is fucking for real. But then also thinking, you'd said to me, wait till later on the week. And I'm like, what? And as soon as I seen it, I was messaging going, fucking hell, mate. It was gold. But Ben is a raging fucking psychopath for me. I don't like him. And I think Ellie, you know, it's over. I haven't talked about the dinner party, but leading up to it alone was terrible. His attitude, he's fucking disgusting. But Dave, I've ranted for ages. I loved it.
It was so good. I don't know if it's set up by the producers. I can imagine them egging him on. And what I would say is, you're saying he's never played the guitar. He definitely has, but he's got that kind of style that's like he's learned a bit, you know. So he's got his My First Guitar Lesson sort of book, because the way he's strumming it, it's like that. Down, 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 up, down, 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 up, down. You know, and that's like the rhythm that he's using. And he's almost, oh, God, this is a callback, Chris. Remember Father Ted, when they go on Ireland are too sick of winning the Eurovision Song Contest, so they enter Father Ted and he does My Lovely Horse. And so he's like, My Lovely Horse. And every time he changes chords, he has to stop and look at his fingers, where his fingers are going. It's like that. It's like he's learned a little bit and then he's just thought, right, nailed it. Because Ben is the just the ultimate blagger. I mean, we were laughing, weren't we, about fucking the riches that he's going to be expecting because he's got a fucking podcast and he's going to promote it on Maths. Like, fuck off. You're deluded, mate. And the guitar thing, that sort of fits with that persona for me, that, you know, he's just a bit of a grifter. He's just a bit of a blagger, you know, and just trying to try out these different things, but he's just not very fucking good at it. That's the problem. Yeah. So, you know, he's chancing his arm at this, but, you know, this is going to fall flat as well, because unless he gets like the old fucking David Brent, you know, people start inviting him round, you know, for student nightclub get-ups, like, go on, give us a song, like, he'll walk around with his guitar or something. Maybe he is going to be that joke character. But yeah, just, oh, talk about toe curling, Chris. It's just an absolute nightmare. And I'm trying to think now, what did they do at the dinner party? Because I'm so focused on Tori with the dinner party and like Timothy and stuff.
He just said, you're not for me in front of everybody and announced it. I've not been a massive fan of Sarah, but she laid into him quite rightly. She's like, I'm going to call you out. She was right, Sarah. You know, I've not been a biggest fan, but what, Dave, that was all for effect. That was all for him to get his little bit of PR stuff, his social media, that he knows he's going to get backlash, but it's just any press is good press in this situation. And it just felt so staged to do it. And Ellie's just sat there like, oh, thanks, mate. Thanks for that. Just fucking, you know, just do it in front of everybody. But I don't know whether...
It's the fact that he thought... I mean, he's got... You're right. I mean, she'd... other than literally fucking booting him out of the dinner party, she it was done for her anyway. So I think at least he could read the tea leaves there. And he thought, you know, it's a good idea to, you know, for him to be on camera to finish it first. Because you know what, Chris? A good idea is a good idea.
What a segue. This is me and you being self-indulgent, laughing at our own jokes. I fucking love that, how you did that. That is fucking brilliant. I'm doing the finger linking now, Dave. Nobody can see I'm doing that. Yeah,
it's got to be the finger sort of linking, but also the biting of the bottom lip.
Yeah. What's one of your weaknesses, Dave?
Eczema.
Nobody's going to get it. Sorry, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Unless you're a massive office nerd like us, but everyone's like, what the fuck are you talking about? But honestly, it's so good. We've so got to get on that extra stuff.
We need to do it. We need to do the extra podcast, definitely. But so, Dave, what about another couple again? So, we've done these three main couples this week, which is absolutely ridiculous. Lucinda and Timothy. I mean, the start of the week, she said he took her to a strip club and she's like laughing and the fucking experts are laughing and she's like, yeah, I fucking tits and ass in my face. It was like, well, I was like, what? You know, and it was all like laughing and joking. And then when Alexandra dug him out and she did, you know, she really did go for him. Mellard had a bit of a pop and then Jaden had a go at him finally. I think he realised like what John had said about not standing up for it. And we'd said that, didn't we? Not necessarily for Jaden to be physical, but he's a professional fighter. He's never going to use it on the street. But what for him, he's not intimidated by anybody, is he? You know, like he wouldn't be intimidated, but maybe he's worried about his own temper. You know, maybe it's that. Maybe he's thinking he's a short fuse. And Eden has said that, like he's got a short fuse sort of thing. But then I hated what Timothy did. It was a little bit like when Sarah got called up by Tim and she's like, I'll see you at home. And he's like, don't fucking speak to me. Don't speak to me. And she's lovely, Lucinda. I mean, Sam always says, she could do voiceover artist stuff. She's like, you know, she's like, Dave, who's the X-Men who comes over, one of the mutants who comes over and touches people and just goes, just calm down there.
That sounds very wrong, but I think you're talking about Rogue.
Rogue. Hey, Rogue. Hey, yeah, no, she just goes over like, just calm it down.
I think you're mixing up Jimmy maybe Savile
some,
there.
Maybe that's some sort of search history stuff I've watched. But anyway,
comes over and touches people.
Touches people. What was that movie called, Dave? Anyway,
fucking Prince Andrew. Allegedly. Well,
allegedly. Don't even get me started on the stuff that's come out this week, Dave. But not about him, but other people. Anyway, no, what I would say is she's very calm. And like Mel and Alexandra, this St. John said, like, she even after all that, like, she's really good the way she speaks to people and a delivery. It's just, Timothy's just a fucking, he's apparently, Dave, he's fucking loaded as well. He's a gin mogul. He's got a fucking massive business, everything. He's absolutely loaded, Timothy, I was looking online. But he's very arrogant. He's stuck in his ways. There's enough, they shouldn't be together. The fact that fucking he said stay, even the fucking experts are like, are you fucking sure? You're like, what is going on? So I know we'll get to the dinner party in a minute, but just leading up to the dinner party, it's just like, that's fucking terrible the way he treats her. He's awful to her. Really, she deserves better than this.
I was almost wondering whether, you know, Lucinda is just too nice for him, you know, because she almost, she forgives everything. She's so fucking warm. And honestly, I've seen a lot of comments as well, because I think we were all the same. We were all like, oh, fuck me. She's a proper fucking tree hugger. And oh, she's going to be fucking out with the, I was going to say the glow sticks, the incense sticks and everything. Yeah. Oh, she's going to be fucking insufferable. What an amazing person. And everyone should have Lucinda like in their lives. Just someone who is that positive. And you can see how, you know, not on Timothy, but, you know, just generally how she kind of has this positive effect on the people around them. You know yourself from your own life, Chris, that when people are those energy vampires, they're just fucking negative on everything. It's just draining for yourself, isn't it, to just keep up? It's like, oh, I remember this fella years and years ago, and you know when you say, oh, morning, or whatever, and a guy at work, and he's like, oh, no, oh, my back's killing me. It's just, it got to the point where it's like, yeah, I'm not going to fucking ask you. Literally, I will not politely ask you anymore, because I you know, it's a polite thing. You know, I don't need your fucking life story or what a bad night's sleep you've had. So with Lucinda, it's the opposite. She's so positive, but he's just such a dick. I think he needs to be called out more. And the way he was, he's just such a grumpy fucker, isn't he? And again, I think in his head, he's still like 20 or something. But, you know, so grumpy old fucker, I'm going to say. The way all she said was, you know, and I think it was Alessandra, wasn't it? She was saying that I'm seeing more of a friendship. And Lucinda agreed. And he just fucking turned. I mean, on the sofa, they did seem to have like a good week. But I think Alessandra was on the money there as well. It's like, oh, yeah, we went out and we did this. Like you say, they went to the strip club and stuff, had this great time, but there's still nothing there between them, really. And then he was just a right grumpy fucker, wasn't he? You know, and it was when he got back, and I was glad John called him out, you know, because he was saying, oh, don't talk to me. You know, and it's like, oh, fuck off. So he was just stuck in that really stubborn, grumpy state over what was such a minor thing that Lucinda said. And by the way, what she said was right. And it was only step in the fucking hero. Like, not all heroes wear capes, as they say. Lucinda's dad, what a legend.
Oh, it's fucking brilliant.
And I thought, he sat there for ages, and he was just observing what was going on and listening. He didn't really seem to say much, and it was only when they went outside, wasn't it? And then I thought, you put yourself in that position, don't you? If someone's speaking to my daughter and treating her that way, we're going to fucking tangle. But he was having a go at him, and he's saying, oh, you know, I'm pissed off. It's boring. You're boring. But then it's when he said, like, oh, stop getting your tits in a tangle. And there was something, it sort of shattered, like, Timothy's grumpy exterior. And then he started to smile a bit. And then he sort of, I think, appreciated, I don't know if he appreciated it, but he was getting called out for just being a dick. And I think it sort of shook him out of that. But yeah, Lucinda's dad, mate, what a legend.
Oh, he was. He was. I mean, the fact of saying I have a one night stand with my daughter, say, he's just fucking bizarre. It's bizarre. But I thought Timothy was out of order anyway. When they were sat at the table, and was that his sister who was getting emotional about him, saying, like, he's been through all this stuff?
Yeah.
Bad behavior. Yes, look, every single person, no matter how big or small, we've all been through stuff. It's how you react to that and how you. Yeah. Either reflect on it, grow on it, do whatever. There's a point where you're like, I can't be angry at everybody all the time. That's just not, you just can't do that. But I thought he was out of order then. And like you say, dad was fucking brilliant. Even Timothy was pissing himself. He's like, I've got nothing. I've absolutely got nothing. You're absolutely on the money. And going to the dinner party, I mean, he got called out, didn't he? And Jaden was like, from the get-go, he'd heard Jaden slag him off and everything. Mm. And I think Jaden was right. I think Jaden was right, but then when Timothy said, I've had fucking undies, he's the same as a Cockney again, Dave. I've had undies the same age as you. But I think the problem was when Jaden's delivery was about, look, we're in a great spot. And he's like, and then I think Timothy was sort of right when he went, come and see me in 3 months or 3 years, sorry. You know what I mean? And all that. So I think he was right because the experts were sort of siding with Timothy, weren't they? And then it seemed to be an open house on Timothy, but he's just a dick. He needed calling out. I think it was right. I just think some of the stuff Jaden said, he lost a little bit of the argument, didn't he? Because that was his age coming. They were like, oh, I do sort of agree with the experts. However, Timothy deserved all of that. He's a fucking bellend, isn't he? An absolute bellend. And he shouldn't be on the show. He needs to just go now. You know, I don't know what the outcome is. They're not going to be together, Dave. I'd be fucking amazed if they're getting engaged and stuff now.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, I do think there's... I don't know, though. You know, with the producer manipulation and stuff, are they going to prod them in that way? Is he going to take Lucinda's dad's advice, you know, and maybe that'll change things a bit? But it does seem... they shouldn't be on the show, Chris, but I kind of want them on the show still. Lucinda, because she is so positive, but Timothy, you know, being a bit grumpy and, you know, he's a bit of a catalyst for some of the conflict as well. And I must admit, I don't really want to side with Timothy because I think, like you say, Jaden was right to call him out, but also, you know, you are still a kid. because we're more in sort of Timothy's demographic, aren't we? And it's like, don't be telling us like you fucking got it all sorted and giving me fucking relationship advice, you know what I mean? So I can sort of see why he took exception with that. But again, what I didn't love massively is at the dinner party, like Lucinda's really fucking defending him quite a lot. You know, it's bad. He's this great guy and whatever. And that's where I think, you know, maybe someone who was a bit more feisty. I'm not saying someone like a Lauren or anything, but, you know, someone who kind of keep Timothy in check as well and sort of bite back at him a little bit. I think maybe that's what he'd need a bit more.
Yeah. I think so. Maybe that's what it is. She's just not a challenge, is she? It's almost like that kid thing of like, well, I can do whatever I want and you're going to forgive me and you're going to keep doing this. And he's like, he is trying, maybe he needs that, like you say, maybe he needs that like butting of heads to give him a bit of passion or something. It just doesn't, it's very bizarre, isn't it? He's going to be a very lonely guy if this carries on, Dave, you know, irrespective of the show, he's never going to be happy. So yeah, very, very bizarre character. But again, like you say, we need him for the show. I mean, I've loved it from the get-go this week. I mean, the other couples have sort of like, you know, we had Michael and Stephen. There was a little bit of doubt there. They didn't really feature, did they? Even Jaden and Eden didn't really feature until the last episode. And then I'll tell you what I want to ask you, Dave, actually. Have Stephen and Madeline, are they actually left now?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I saw that there was a there's a podcast where he's done an interview. I haven't listened to it. Probably should have done, but apparently he spills a lot of tea about all the things that were going on in the background and stuff. But that was mad, that wasn't it, on the couch, and he was just like, "No, you know what, I'm done."
Yeah,
because he sort of, I think he'd almost convinced himself, no, I can sit this out for another week. But yeah, he's just like, no, sorry, I'm off. So yeah, I know you said it smacks of like a producer plant, but I don't know, there's that element of doubt for me, you know, and if it's not a producer plant and she genuinely is, you know, hearing voices and stuff, then you've got to question the production team, haven't you?
Oh, 100%, 100%, because she's got issues. If this is not fake, then she shouldn't be on this platform, should she? I mean, we're laughing and poking fun. That's what we do at this. But, like, you know, for her to be saying, like, oh, what was that? What was that? I just, like I said, I don't buy it, Dave. However, if you flip it and you are right to question that, then yeah, she needs to speak to somebody, doesn't she? She needs, like, some sort of extra help, which I know on these reality shows, they get fuck all usually, don't they, when they bin them off? It's just sort of like, see you later. But yeah, very bizarre. I just couldn't pick up on it. I was like, have they left? It was because when Collins and Natalie left, it was sort of like very, it had to happen, obviously, because he was like, oh, where are you going? You know, and I was like, you'd think there'd be a big like fanfare, but there wasn't, was it? It's just like you've left the experiment. But Dave, we're over halfway now. I'm absolutely buzzing and loving this. I've so enjoyed talking about it and watching Maths. It's been such a ridiculous show, and we're getting asked about other shows to cover, aren't we? These Love Is Blind UK's out later on this year. I think people asking about The Circle. There's a few shows in the backdrop. I'll tell you which one we've been watching, me and Sam. There was a few. Oh, we've been watching all day, but this is great podcasting, this, Chris. Well done, Chris. Well,
see, this
done,
is what will happen now, you know, as we descend from midlife to later life. Yeah, the podcast is just going to be, oh, do you remember that series that we did ages ago? Yeah, with that person and they did that thing.
Yeah, that's it. No, I'll tell you what it is, Dave. I've been watching on Channel 4. I think it's called Josh Must Win, a reality one. And I think it's Josh Must Win. We've been watching it and the lad looks like, you don't watch Coronation Street, do you?
No.
Right, so I think I'm gonna have to look now because I'm gonna get this fucking wrong here, and it's gonna be like me and Sam were talking about
the other day. Stops you.
How dare you? It is Josh Must Win. So it basically you've got four reality stars, and I was like, I'm not watching. Pete Wicks is on a fucking tower. He was on everything. I mentioned him loads of times. He's got big floppy eyes. That's Sam Thompson's best mate. They do a podcast together and everything. And he's on it. You've got Vicky Pattinson. You've got the girl who won Love Island, Dave, the first season when Ovi was on it. Lovely girl. What's she called?
Amber.
She's on it. And then you've got Nick Grimshaw, the ex-Radio 1 like presenter. And controlling this show while other wannabes come in. But there's a kid who looks exactly like fucking the lad off Coronation Street, Vicky Barlow. With the curly hair, he's a wrestler, and they're making sure he has to win the show. So if he wins the show, they all get like 10, 20 grand or whatever it is at the end of it. But it's been really good, like really entertaining, you know, like because you've got these normal wannabes who are on it because it's reality TV, and then you've got this kid who stands out. But then I'm like, is he on it? So we've been watching it so far. But yeah, I recommend it. Josh Must Win. It's been really, really good. It's for underdog. Josh Must Win. Really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm not watching that.
I knew you weren't going to say it. I knew you were going to say it.
Can we just finish fucking Maths?
No, I don't mean to cover it. I just meant to watch it. But anyway, all right, Dave, let's just finish
Maths. I'm so behind on everything. Chris, I haven't even watched the third season of Ted Lasso yet. I've watched a couple of episodes now. So that's my... If there's free time, I need to finish that season off because I absolutely love it. And again, Ted Lasso is almost like Lucinda, isn't he? You know, it's just that positive character, but you know, it's a whole entourage cast. So maybe in retirement, Chris, I can get around to this sort of stuff.
When I mentioned him to you, yeah, fair enough. Anything else, Dave, before we go?
Just to say about, I mean, we mentioned Cassandra just in the context of the whole Tory thing. And, you know, again, I thought Tory was disgusting there. But Cassandra and Tristan, I'm just getting bored by them, to be honest. You know, will they, won't they? Where do you think they'll land? Do you think they'll end up breaking through some barrier? Or, you know, he seems very up and down, doesn't he? you know, and not in a like a good way for Cassandra. Like, just like I don't know, he's very kind of gets very low when he thinks things are not going well.
Yeah,
and then, you know, he sort of goes into hyper, I've had too much sugar mode as well. And I'm just not really sure who the real person is.
No, I think you're right. I think he's another one. He's got some mental health problems there for going on a show like this. I will say, Dave, I like Cassandra because she's called out like Sarah. She's called out Tori, and she does do it in like a pretty good way. And I like the fact that she's got that bit of like back up to herself. She's not afraid to speak up, which is really good. A dad, when you met a dad again and everything, he's taking the piss. I don't know whether, Dave, I'm believing everything she's saying about their relationship, about how he's the man for her and everything. I think as this has gone on, I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I think there is nothing between them, and I'm sort of getting the vibe. And it's not her fault because she's playing along. She's doing nothing wrong. I could be way off, but I'm just getting the vibe that it's the wrong pick, but she's going to have to stick it out now. And that's why she's saying all this dialogue. And then at the end of the show, it would be like, oh, we just remain friends sort of thing, you know, one of them. But she's doing it for the duration of being on the show and that little bit of fame and notoriety sort of thing. That's how I feel. However, everything's pointing towards it's been Tristan that sort of derailed the relationship. She's been all up for the experiment, so I could be way off. But yeah, I smell a bit of a rat as it's going on this, more of a let's just stay to the end.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of which, Chris, so Sarah and Tim seem to be going great guns at the minute. You know, they've had a bit of she'd had a bit of a roasting at the commitment ceremony the last time, hadn't she? And
yeah,
it just seems to have completely flipped around, and they are having a great time. And Chris, I don't know, I'm just not buying it at all. I feel like she had a bit of a wake-up call about how she was coming across. And, you know, she's just deliberately like trying to come across better. And so I'm not sure I buy that couple, even though from this week, you know, it seems to be going great.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. I think she's read the room after last week. I think she's thinking, shit, I'm off here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then, look, David can spin round. Maybe, you know, them giving her that, you know, sort of wake up moment. But in the context of the show, I think it's more I don't want to piss John and everybody else off because they're on to my own plan. So, yes, we're very cynical, David, but that's exactly what the podcast is about.
And Ridge and Jade, I think you might have mentioned them before, but they seem to be going really well. And again, I'm just not quite buying it. We sort of met Ridge and you know, his frat boy mates and stuff, but then he's sort of somehow turned into this perfect boyfriend. And for me, it feels like an act. I'm waiting for something to go on there.
Yeah, I think so. The D's thing is fucking frustrating. Every time I hear it, I'm like, please shut the fuck up with that. You're just doing it. They seem happy. They're obviously, they've gone to that next level, like in the bedroom and everything. There's something there between them. There is chemistry, which is more than quite a lot of the other couples. But I'm the same, Dave. And also, in fact, as I'm saying, what else? We've got Richard and Andrew, haven't we? I mean, he that whole relationship's just gone, I think, hasn't it? And he's crying at the table, Wonnie, and everything, and he can't see it. And that's the issue, I think, isn't there, with the relationship? Some of his wording and ways approach things has just let him down. I don't think they're compatible, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I think there's something there, isn't there? You know, and that, did you not find that whole scenario weird? Like, she'd obviously, I can't even think back now, but she was upset about like some of the language that he was using it on the commitment couch. What was it? He was saying about, yeah, we've sucked, fucked, and you name it, we've done it, sort of thing. And like bragging as if he's a fucking kid. Yeah. And I said last week about this weird kind of, he's almost this man child. It's like saying, you know, he's 60 odd, and it's like, oh, yeah, people say I look a lot younger. It's like, listen, mate, I think you need to fucking grow up a bit. There's something not quite right there. So she's obviously and understandably quite pissed off at like the way he was talking there. But then the way he behaves is like almost like he's never met a woman before, and it's like, oh, she doesn't like me anymore. And starts fucking crying. And I'm like, oh, fuck me. Like, I don't know, Chris. He puts on this persona. Like, you know, he still reminds me of the Democracy Manifest guy, but you know, he just puts on this persona. But I think there's some real issues with him, and so yeah, I feel for that reason they're not really compatible. They'll have a bit of fun, but I think he's got quite a bit of growing up to do.
Yeah, and it's mad, isn't it? Because we all do, look, yeah, I'm 45, Dave, and I still do things and I think, oh, Chris, what are you doing? You know, like, we all do it, don't we? We all have our sort of little quirks or whatever that people will go like, I think you need to, I mean, I get it a lot because I still love my gaming. You know, people are like, you need to grow up. I'm like, I don't fucking care. I'm doing that. But I can react in ways where I think, oh, God, Chris. So then I've got old videos of when I was like 20 years old when I first got with Sam, and I'm sat there watching like when Jordan was a baby, and I'm like, oh my God, fuck me. Why are you still with me, Sam? You know what I mean? So fucking cringeworthy and childish. And you know, but yeah, he's 60 odd, isn't he? So I suppose it's difficult. He's never going to change. You know what I mean? He's never going to be that person. I've got someone in my family who's older than that, and you would think that they're about 10 years old the way they act, Dave, and it's just bizarre, and that person's never been held accountable, so that behavior just carries on. Maybe that's why he's not had anybody tell him. Like Timothy's acting like a complete bell end. He's probably never been told by anybody. As soon as someone stands up to him, he don't know how to react, you know. So
yeah
anyway, brilliant.
I just think God bless the mass casting for continuing to find these people in society. We don't want the level mature people. We want the fucking people who are a bit broken and for our entertainment.
It's horrible, so wrong, yeah. Isn't it? Love it. I know. Thank you, mate. Absolutely. Love it. And thanks, everybody, again, everyone on the chat on Facebook. Please get over there. Chris and Dave's Reality TV cast. The chat functions there. These different chats for different shows. And also, Dave, this week, because I work with, you know, Callum from Love Island, his stepmom, she actually had, Dave, the official Callum's official drinking, you know, the cup thing from Love Island. She coaxed it off him, and I was like, "Oh right," she went, "it's worth a bit of money, that." I was like, "Well, don't leave that around the office, so yeah." But you know, but then she was laughing, saying, "I've got it here." So yeah, Callum, he's not with. I don't think he's still with the girl.
There's a photo opportunity. I mean, Callum's water bottle there with David Beckham.
Well, Bex himself, do you know what I mean? Unbelievable. It'd be too much of the internet.
Plug a few pictures on eBay.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be too much of the internet, David. It'd just break it. But yes, I did see the actual cup in person that he drank out of. But there you go. But anyway, what a fucking terrible fucking bit of information that was. Yeah, it's actually a fair take on it. Anyway, let's move on. If you do want to support us, get over to patreon.com/CDRealityCast. If you want to email us, cdrealitycast@gmail.com. And if you do want to follow us on social media @CDRealityCast. So a roll call of honor and a massive thank you to Janae, Jesse, Kathleen, Sims, Andrea, Nick, Danielle, Kim, Amanda, Larissa, Helen, Nicola, Fiona, Cassie, Maggie, Zoe, Gillian, Keith, Helen, Chloe, Joanna, Libby, Katie, Dee Dee, Susan, Hennessy, Lauren, Lucky Lulu Green, and Kent Gustafson. So thank you so much, guys. That list just gets bigger and bigger. The support we get on this show is amazing. And thanks for all the kind comments in the chat and everything. Like, you know, I love the fact that when people say, you were saying exactly what I'm thinking and that, so we're not completely lost on us both. I do appreciate it.
No, it is amazing, mate. And we've got a few reviews, but we'll keep those for next week because we are in a tad bit of a rush right now. So thank you very much, sir. Thanks to all our listeners. Thanks to all our supporters. And we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.